Hey there, Liam Potter here with another installment of Nui Tech People's Community Spotlight. This month we're talking to a guy called Evan, but you might know him a bit better as CodeBullet. He's a content creator that focuses on making machine learning oriented videos and has over 2.25 million subscribers on YouTube. We cover the uni experience, why he hides his face, why he turned to making videos in the first place, and a million other things in between. I really enjoyed making this episode, and I hope you enjoy listening to it. Cheers! So, Evan, CodeBullet, thank you for coming on.
That's all right.
How you been, man? How have you been during this whole COVID situation?
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, I was kind of home alone anyway, so it didn't really change much for me. And now just, if anything, everyone else is living the same life I was, so that's kind of nice. It's a nice feature. Everyone's like, this sucks. I'm like, yeah. I've been telling you for
years. I've been training for this whole life.
Yeah.
And we're finally there.
Yeah, yes. I'm ready.
Excellent. So I guess for an intro, Nui Tech People, obviously we sort of focus on community events in our area, people in our area. This one's probably a bit different. So for the people that don't know who you are, what you do, what do you do?
Oh, well, I'm CodeBullet, a YouTuber. I do like programming videos primarily where I try and, I don't know, have a bit of a sense of humor to it, which is kind of rare in the industry a little bit sometimes. When I covered it. It's coming better now. There are a lot of like talented people joining up, but when I first started, it was pretty abysmal. Like a lot of people, like there are like good tutorials on there, but I thought the sort of comedy slash programming niche was a bit untapped. And so I tried that and I hit it and it's working pretty well.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. And when did it start? And more importantly, how did it start?
It started like 3 years ago, I think, about back when I was in uni. And it started primarily as like a way for me to show off like a portfolio. In the way that like, this is what I can do. Cause at the time I was at uni, I didn't have any job experience. Mm. I didn't really particularly want any job experience. So I just tried to, I don't know, have some sort of impressive resume going.
Yep.
And so I thought it'd be a cool way to sort of visually represent what I could do. And so that was like my first couple of videos and then people started watching and then I was like, okay, let's actually see if this is something. And okay. Well, yeah, I think it was.
And how did people initially find the video? Was it just organic through the recommended algorithm or did you advertise it anywhere? What was sort of the initial push?
I've done like zero advertising. Well, again, that wasn't really the point of the YouTube channel. To do that. It was just, have videos. Like the fact that it was on YouTube was just like a way of storing the videos pretty much and a way of easily getting it to employees and stuff.
It could have just as easily have been on Vimeo or Dailymotion. No one uses that.
I'm glad I didn't do that. So that went well, I think.
Okay. And this is going to be a broad question where I expect we're going to have a pretty long-winded answer. So sorry. What makes a video? Very vaguely speaking, what's the process? What sort of time goes into it? What is the planning process? Is there a planning process?
More or less. It's generally a lot of like starting a project and then not finishing anything, which is not the strategy.
Yeah.
If you've like heard anyone on YouTube talk about how to get popular on YouTube, it's not release a video every 3 or 4 months. You got to do like everyday uploads or twice a week uploads. And I tried doing that once, but it didn't happen. It worked for a week. I did a video a week for a week, which is one video if you can do the math.
What a streak.
My process is I've got like the hardest thing is to like figure out an idea. I've got like a full page of ideas going. Mm. And like, they're all good ideas. They're all like, we'll make like a good video, I think. But then I've just got to really be passionate about it. And I've got to be like willing to spend like a month or 2 months or 3 months or however long it's going to take me to actually do that project. So I guess the first step is picking a video to do. And that's not always easy. Not always. Yeah. That's usually where the trial and error stuff happens. And I'll get like a week into a video and then be like, I don't know. Or just like, I'll try something. And then it's like, there's no way this is going to work. Or there's no way that I'll actually finish it, or there's no way that this will even be interesting at the end. Mm. And kind of as a YouTuber, you got to kind of think of all of that. Like the video is the product, not necessarily the project that I'm doing. So you got to like think about like what the thumbnail is going to be, what the title is going to be, and you know, how to make that as clickbaity as you can, which is, I suppose, the closest thing to marketing that like YouTubers do.
Yeah.
So it's a long-winded way of saying you got to pick a topic, and then and then you got to actually code it.
Mm.
That's and depending on the video, like I've done videos where it's one day of coding,
mm.
and I've done videos where it's like taken me almost a year to finish the coding.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that's on and off. It's probably like a week of actual work. Yeah. But
it's a passion project that you've drawn out for an incredibly long time.
And like, because I like sort of pushing my comfort zone in them, like trying new stuff and not doing the same thing over and over again, because that'd be boring for me and for the viewers.
Yes.
I never have any experience in what I'm doing, so I never know how long it's actually going to take. So yeah, the one that took me a year, I was like, yeah, it'll be a big project. It might take me a month. And yeah, 1 year and 1 month later.
And I'd imagine it's pretty hard to gauge the estimated time end to end for a project because you are going in so blind.
Yeah, for sure. Which is, I don't know, it's exciting. And it's good that I can get enough views doing a video every 3 months that it's not like affecting my bottom line. I'll be fine. But it's just like the video that took me a day is like my third most popular video. Oh. And the video that took me a year isn't even like top 10.
It's in the guts. Yeah.
It hurts me. It hurts my soul. Yeah.
Yeah, I draw a lot of parallels to like musicians where, you know, someone will spend however many months, potentially a year, working on a particular piece of work, and then they'll belt out some really average pop song just for the sake of it. And that's the one that hits.
Yeah. It's really okay. Yeah. You got to take it. And look, I'm lucky because like for ages, my top video was one of those videos that I just threw out there. It wasn't going to be anything impressive. It was actually like, I did like AA Lunch to play like the Google dinosaur game.
Yeah.
If you know.
I know the one.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh yeah, this will be fun. And that's not a hard game. It's like an easy as shit game. It's just you jump when there's a cactus. If cactus jump, it's not hard. But people are like, what? It was a Google dinosaur game. I think that was most of it. It was the shock factor of people not actually understanding that the Google dinosaur game was an actual game. So it had nothing to do with me or my abilities, which is, that's a nice little thing. But lately that's been overtaken by a few videos I've actually put some effort into. Like my Rubik's Cube video, I think is my most popular one, which I was really happy with that. Yeah.
It's funny that you mentioned that a lot of people probably found the dino video just by virtue of not knowing that that game exists. Yeah. You can tell that they don't live in Australia.
Yeah. Or the internet.
Consistent connectivity.
Don't live the NBN life.
Yeah. Or at least they have fiber to the premises. Maybe they got lucky.
Yeah, potentially. Who knows?
What's the easiest part of making a video? Is there an easiest part?
Yeah. I mean, it depends what you mean. Easy as in like, what's the one I'm most motivated about, or easy as in what's the easiest to physically do?
So I guess in the loose process that takes place when making a video, what's the part that you hit and you go, okay, phew, now I have a bit of a break and now I can just belt this out. Is it the editing process? What do you find?
Editing process. The editing process is nice because it's like everything's coming together and the video is actually looking good. I've like got the script done, and like when you script, you're like imagining things that'll happen, and it doesn't happen for like a couple of weeks or sometimes a couple of months. And then once that all comes together, it's nice seeing that actually work. You have a joke that actually is funny, or sometimes it's not, and that's where it's kind of hard. So you got to be like, okay, I put a lot of effort into this, and then it's just trash. And so you're like, no, get that out of here. So I don't know. It's in a way, the coding is the easiest part.
Okay.
Because it's like, it's so methodological. Is that a word? So
I know the word you're looking for. Yeah. Methodical.
Methodical. There we go. Yeah. There's a way to do it. And even if I don't know the way, I can Google it. I can Stack Overflow. I can figure that out. But with the other stuff, it's all creative, which means there isn't necessarily an answer I can Google. I can't just Google it. I have to like create something that's funny and interesting and all that stuff. And that adds anxiety and pressure and all that stuff. So in a way, the coding is nice in that way that you can just kind of like chill and do it. But it's that can also be the hardest in terms of the way that actually you do it. Yeah.
Well, that's the environment that you're most comfortable in. The actual development. Yeah, you're a comp sci student, or we're a comp sci student rather. That's the environment where you're comfortable. This is your place, but you know, video editing, well, just media in general.
Yeah.
Probably not something you had much exposure to pre the channel.
No, zero. Yeah.
Did you just teach yourself the whole thing?
Yeah. pretty much. I mean, like, I use like YouTube videos,
but yeah, yeah.
I didn't go to any courses or stuff. I started using Windows Movie Maker, which is
excellent.
Yeah, it's not. It's just not. Guys, you can't like with Windows Movie Maker, you can't like put like two images on the screen at the same time. God forbid, you're a crazy man. And all you can pretty much do is like those default transitions.
Yeah.
You got some text going and then you got like video, which you have to do like screen capture stuff, which you have to figure out for yourself. And then you got like all the audio stuff that you have to figure out for yourself. You have to figure out what makes a good like room to record in. You got to figure out what like microphone to get and all that sort of stuff.
And what is the CodeBullet tech stack? What do you use? Programs, hardware, etc.
Yeah, well, I use Premiere Pro to record or to edit my videos. I use Audacity to record audio because it's free.
That's pretty powerful.
Yeah, it'll do. I'm just recording voice, so it's really not an issue. In terms of hardware, I've got a pretty fancy computer, which is one thing I'm happy spending money on is like a better computer in order to make the videos better or in a way easier for me to program because you don't have to worry about it being like super efficient. You can just, pay to win in terms of just get a massive computer.
Yeah.
So that's nice. I've got a Shure microphone, M7B, whatever it's called, the classic YouTuber one. It'll do. I started with a Blue Yeti, which is all right, and it's cheaper, but it picks up a lot of the room noise, which means you have to be more cautious about what room you're in and all that sort of stuff, which I don't like dealing with. And you could like do like a whole recording session and you've been great. It's been energetic. You nailed every line and then you listen back to it and it's just all echoey and bullshit. Oh. And it's like, got to start again. So no, thank you. It's been a bit extra. So it's easy to see why a lot of YouTubers use those microphones. I think that's pretty, in terms of coding, I use WebStorm, which is like the JetBrains programming for this JavaScript. I use like a lot of different, I use a lot of the JetBrains programming things because they're fantastic. And you got them for like every programming language. So I use it when I'm doing Python, because sometimes I use Python for videos, sometimes I use JavaScript, sometimes I use, that's pretty much it. Sometimes I use Java. I originally used Java.
Yeah.
That's the third one.
Is there anything you've potentially wanted to make a video on but haven't been able to or physically can't for whatever reason?
I guess I've been wanting to sort of step out of computer science directly and maybe more into sort of robotics.
Okay.
Would be interesting. I've always had a passion with that. I actually studied computer science majoring in robotics.
Sure.
At uni, but there wasn't a lot of robotics there. Yeah. It was like we did a touch screen and they're like, there you go.
Yes.
Robot. It's like, is it though? Yeah. So I'd like to do that, but then, robotics isn't easy.
No.
And
there's definitely a cost involved with that as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's the fantastic thing about doing programming is there's almost no cost. Like the Adobe suite costs some, the JetBrains costs some, but per video to video, pretty much no cost, which is nice. I do appreciate that. Maybe like robotics, but then I'd have to be bothered learning robotics, and to make like a video about it, I feel like it has to be a reasonably advanced robotics thing. Like you can't just have, I don't know, like a hands clap, I don't know. I'm thinking of ideas on the spot here. It's not a good idea, but you can't have something really basic, like I mean you can, but
It's not the idea of the channel, and it's not what you would ideally want to put out.
I don't want to spend a month on a video that's I'm not proud of and doesn't do well and all that sort of stuff. So I like having big, exciting, impressive, in my eyes at least, videos. And I think that's worked for me so far in terms of doing more like quality, I guess you could say, over quantity. Qualities in inverted commas, of course, but I'm definitely not doing quality, so or quantity. So
I hesitate to call us a YouTube channel because I feel like we like you were at the start. We use YouTube essentially as a delivery mechanism or a platform for our content.
Yeah, sure.
So. We have limited exposure, I guess, to the YouTuber landscape and really what it's like to be a YouTuber
mm.
as a full-time role. What's it like being a YouTuber in Australia?
In Australia?
Yeah.
Well, it's not that different, I guess, to being a YouTuber anywhere else. It's the main thing is that in like America, which is like the hub of where a lot of the YouTubers are, there's a lot more people that do sort of my sort of content.
Mm.
So that's like the main thing. And now that we're kind of trapped in Australia, yeah. more or less, you have to make do with what we have here. So mm. I guess just like the bigger population of America would be nice to be able to meet up with different YouTubers who actually do similar stuff. There are some, there's a guy in Brisbane that I want to reach out to at some point who mm-hmm. does like coding videos, and that's really cool. But in terms of like programming YouTubers in Australia, it's there aren't many of us in the world. So
yeah.
there's, yeah. there's very limited in Australia that I know of. I mean, maybe there's way more.
Well,
like aspiring ones that I don't see. I'm sure there are. But
I guess that's the that's sort of the difficulty of YouTube is that there is just a massive ocean of content.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly difficult to get noticed to that point.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah.
And you can get stuck in your sort of rabbit hole of what your YouTube is like and then yes. never see anything else.
That's fair. Okay. And my understanding, you pretty much haven't had any outside help in these videos. It's been pretty well all mm. you.
Yeah.
What's it like being a one-man band on YouTube with an audience of, you know, however many million it is?
It's scary sometimes. It's a lot. It's just me, and I don't think of myself as being anything impressive or, I don't know, great. So it's like when you have 2 million people waiting for a video, that's where I really struggle with. That's probably the hardest point in uploading mm. a video is the actual uploading itself. Nothing in the creating process is as difficult as uploading a video for me, because you got all that anxiety of yes. especially if it's been like 3 months or whatever, and mm. people expect you to have been working for 3 months and you've been working for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It's problematic. So when you're mm. chucking up a video, the process of uploading it, and you're just like, yeah, thinking, oh, can I change? Can I tweak a thing here and there?
Mm.
That's something that I really struggle with. And the more sort of subscribers that you get, the more anxiety builds, I think.
Yes.
And the more, I don't know, people expect from you, which hurts a little bit. But then it's also really cool sometimes.
Mm.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I don't like having 2 million subscribers. I'd prefer it than...
What a flex.
100,000 subs. Like, yeah. The more the merrier, I guess. That's what you do on YouTube. That's the goal, potentially. It probably shouldn't be, but...
Yeah. Well, I guess there's a semi-direct correlation. If you're looking to make mm. it as a career, there's
yeah.
a semi-direct correlation between subscribers and really view count and...
And revenue and...
The
yeah.
money.
Yeah, 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 yeah. What we're all here for. Yeah. The money.
That AdSense check.
Yeah. That thick AdSense check. Yeah. Yeah. It's good stuff. And like just like the bigger you are, the more brands reach out to you and the less you have to bother with that
That's
sort
true.
Of stuff. Which
very
is
true.
Nice.
Very true.
I suppose. But yeah, it's good. Sometimes I feel like it'd be nice having a bit of a smaller community so you can sort of reach out to people more individually and not sure. like, because I have like a lot of people messaging me on Twitter and on Discord and all over the place. And I feel like there's no way that I can, you know, have any sort of meaningful connection with mm. all of them. And so I've just like, my strategy has just been to like, no, step back. Step away from it. Yeah. They can, if they ask me a question that's stupid or like a lot of the questions are like, because I've done like a Q&A video mm-hmm. and a lot of the questions, I'm just like, see my Q&A video.
Yeah.
I covered this.
See glossary.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, exactly. Like I could, like, I did once where I just like wrote out a bunch of answers to questions and then I just mm-hmm. like copy and pasted them to people. But that seems almost worse than not.
Yeah. It's still manual effort. It's,
yeah. Yeah.
You're semi automating the process, but you're still having to invest time and, to an extent, mental effort of going, man, this is probably the millionth time I've seen this question.
Mm, yeah. And it's a lot of, sometimes you get really nice people reaching out to you, and but then sometimes you get people that are kind of mean. And like,
yeah.
I mean, you get people that like mean well and are kind of joking, but like hit you a bit where it hurts.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, I know you're being kind, but yeah. Yeah, so it's, I don't know. It is what it is, I guess. Mm. I'm at, like when I was like first getting into it and first like, trying to consider it as a job, that was the primary goal, was to get more and more subscribers, more and yeah. more views. But now that I've kind of got enough views that I can pay for life, I'm happy just chilling. Yeah.
Yeah. You're at the critical mass where you it's comfortable. Now you're just allowed to just go.
And I can, that's something where I guess the more subs you get, the less anxiety there is, because it's like, it doesn't really matter. Like, no matter what, I'm going to get enough views on, I've got enough people with like notifications on that are going to watch every video I put out. So no matter how dog shit it is, or no matter how like unclickbaity I make the title and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll still get like a decent number and I'll still be able to eat and stuff.
And you're in a fairly fortunate position relative to a lot of YouTubers where a lot of your videos have a view count significantly higher than your subscriber count. So you've got, you've obviously got sort of the core viewer retention there.
Yeah.
But you have a lot of people just finding it organically through the algorithm and so on. And that's, you know, I've seen channels where they'll have a similar amount of subscribers, but they're averaging maybe 100K per video.
That sucks. That's a nice feature. Like you see, like, I guess PewDiePie has 100 mil subs, but I think he's got like a couple of videos that have 100 mil views. So it's, I guess that's nice. And I have like something like, because they give you all the analytics on YouTube.
Yes.
They let you know everything, and like they let you know exactly the point where people left your video and the exact joke people didn't find funny and so they pissed off. But yeah, they tell us like I've got an average of like 70% of the views I get are non-subscribed people. So that's yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, unreal. Do you find yourself diving a bit too far into the analytics pool and overanalyzing your videos, like you said, finding the exact moment where people dropped out of the video? Do you get a bit hyper aware of that? Do you look into that a bit too much?
Not anymore. I'm at the point where I don't really care all that much anymore, which is nice, because you don't have to play the game super hard anymore if you're you know, always going to get enough views. If I start like really dropping on the views, then I'd probably look into it a bit more, but that's, I guess, a privilege I have, is not caring too much about that. It's working, and so I could maybe do even better, but that would just, I don't know, a lot of looking at analytics and stuff that I'm not super interested in. But I mean, some of the analytics are interesting. The 95% male audience, right? That hurts a bit.
So it's to an extent reflective of the IT industry in general.
Yeah. That's probably what it's like at uni. And I think YouTube just in general is male dominated. I think it's something like 60
just
or 70%.
The viewership itself.
Just overall. Although it's probably evening out now that like beauty YouTubers are becoming a thing. Although maybe they've always been a thing. I don't know. I'm only just hearing of them. It's really not inside my YouTube bubble.
Yeah, you've been fairly isolated from that part of the space. What's with the anonymity? Why can't we see you?
Why is my face blurred or whatever we decided to do?
Yeah.
We had some good ideas. We should have done the paper bag thing. That would have been funny. 100%. I also wanted you guys to like deep fake someone's face onto mine. I thought that would have been really funny. Like, or like your face onto mine. And so it's just like you're talking to yourself.
I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, no, I think that'd be funny. Can we do that? I have no idea. That sounds like a lot of work. No, yeah, it was like never intentional. Again, I just started with Windows Movie Maker. So like, I don't know if you can. I mean, sure, you could record your face and put it in there, but it was just easier to put text in there. Like, it's way easier to just like write a sentence explaining it than like actually write a sentence and then record it. And you got to make sure the lighting's right. I don't know. I've never done this. So I'm sure there's a ton of shit you got to deal with when recording visuals and stuff. So I just kind of never did it. At one stage, I just like decided to put out my voice on videos, which was, that was definitely a good idea. Cause that's like really like sort of the inflection point when my videos started really picking up steam. Because there's only so much, I guess, personality you can put in text in Windows Movie Maker. There's only a certain amount of transitions that you can put in that people are like, whoa.
Star wipe.
Yeah, star wipe.
Fair enough.
Mind blowing. So yeah, it's never really been a conscious thought, but now it feels like it needs to be. Like a lot of people who start out with their face in videos, they like never have to make this choice. They're just always out there and it's never a big deal. But now whenever I'm talking to people about it, everyone has their own opinion about like whether or not I should put my face out there. And people are like, oh, it's great because, you know, I get all the benefits without, you know, being harassed at the grocery store or whatever. I don't know. But then I just never really have bothered doing it. And now it seems like a big deal and I don't know what to do.
At this point.
Yeah. And so I guess I can milk it for some views at some point.
Five mil. We're ready. Yeah. Have you had anyone ever recognize you just based on the tone of your voice?
Mm.
Really?
Yeah, I've had a few, especially at uni. Wow. That's like my people.
Yeah.
Because it's like you got people who are young, who are like watching YouTube and who are into, you know, computer science stuff. And so, although it wasn't who you'd think, we were like doing... We had this room that we'd hang out with at uni and we'd just like hang out and do assignments and stuff. So I was doing a question on the board and this construction worker was like working on the lights or something. And so I'm just like, I'm like talking to my mates, explaining how I did a problem or something. And then he's like turned around and be like, this is going to be weird, but do you know what YouTuber called Code Bullet? And that's how everyone asks. They ask, do you know what YouTuber called? And so they're like, yeah, that's me.
I do.
Yeah. It's always a really weird conversation when people notice you and they're like, nice.
Yeah.
And it's like, silence.
Yeah. What is the interaction at that point? You go, yeah, that's me. And they go, cool, okay.
Cool. And you're like, oh yeah, I really liked your videos. And then you're like, yep, I made those. And then we just stare at each other for a bit. And then he goes back to fixing the lights. No, I try, but it's just such, like, you can go, oh, what's your favorite video? And then it's like, oh yeah, I made that one. I don't know. It's just, it's a weird starting, like it's a weird, like sort of one way relationship in terms of like,
yeah,
I can't explain a lot about like, oh, I just did this new video doing this. And he's like, I know, I watched it. They're like, oh, okay. And so like, he knows a lot about me, but I know nothing about him. And so it's like not a normal interaction with somebody. So it's weird. And like some other times, some students have come up to me and been like, hey, I know you could bullet or whatever, because I don't know, I'm not the quietest guy, so and sometimes I just loudly say like, look at my YouTube channel. Not like that, but like,
subscribe
boys. Or like people will be like watching like the echoes or like the recordings of the uni lecturers and being like, what? But like some loud guy's asking a question and I recognize the voice. I've had people like, probably the creepiest one was somebody just messaging me on like Discord or what, I don't remember where he messaged me, but he messaged me and was like, were you in this room today or something?
Wow.
And I'm like, yeah.
so hours after has come back to like, hey, were you in this seat in this lecture?
I was. And so apparently that was because it was like during an exam.
Yeah.
And apparently he hadn't turned up to any of the lectures. And so this was his first time like hearing my voice or whatever. Because I liked going to lectures. I thought that was nice. Yeah. So it's always a weird interaction. But I guess you get used to it, get better. But I haven't had it a lot since I left uni. I don't really have it as much because, I don't know, I guess just less people are hearing your voice and less it's less sort of my demographic.
You're exposed to the wider world now as opposed to the comp sci bubble.
Yeah. Which is kind of nice. Like it's definitely, I definitely don't do it for that sort of attention. Cause again, like what, it's just, what do you get? A weird interaction. That's great. That's the way. Like what if it's like something like meeting fans at like VidCon, if I ever decide to do that or something like that, that'd be maybe a different sort of thing, but it's kind of weird when you're sort of just trying to do uni work and then someone's like interrupting you and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not what I'm doing this for, so.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. What's so you mentioned previously that the channel itself essentially was you just trying to build a portfolio, but just in a bit of an unorthodox manner, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
You've graduated CompSci now.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Thank you.
What's the plan now? Now that you've built your portfolio, you're good to go.
Yeah, it's done.
What's happening?
Well, I'm gonna keep doing YouTube. Okay. It's no longer a portfolio. I don't think it'd even function as a portfolio anymore with like the amount. I mean, that's still like, if I do go for a job, I still put it on my resume, but it's like, you could hardly call them professional videos in terms of just sort of the mood.
Yeah.
It's not, because at the start I tried, like I wasn't swearing and I wasn't like putting too much personality into it. It was like specifically, these are the neural networks. This is the size, this is the output. Try to be as professional as possible. And you can probably see like while watching each video that slowly fades.
Just dropped over time.
Yeah. And then I started putting my voice in and then I started swearing. And then, now we're pretty low in terms of professional level. But that's, I guess that's kind of what you have to be in order to be a YouTuber. You got to be like authentic and shit, which I like.
Yeah.
I'm not a professional sort of person. I've never learned those skills for better or worse. But yeah, so I'm going to keep doing YouTube is the plan. I want to do some travel as well at some point. I was going to, not the time, unfortunately. I was like, just before like this whole COVID thing happened, I was going to go to America and I was going to do touring around, and I want to meet up with some other YouTubers and live that sort of life a little more. Because I've been kind of pretty isolated in terms of like the YouTube community. I haven't been at all part of that community. I haven't gone to VidCon, or I haven't like reached out to many other creators and that sort of stuff. I mean, I've talked to like a few here and there, but I've kind of kept it pretty like just me for whatever reason. I don't know. But I'm starting to like reach out to more people and talk to people. And even if it's just online, talking to people in America and stuff, I think it'd be really cool. And I think that adds sort of a new dimension to it and makes it much less sort of me against the world and gives you some like peers and that sort of stuff. Which would be cool.
Is the intention there to potentially do video collaborations, that sort of thing? What is...
I just want to like hang. I just want to chill.
Just want friends.
I don't want friends, somebody, anybody. I don't know. Just like talk to them about their YouTube stuff and like a lot of my friends, they understand, but like it's different talking to somebody in the field.
Yeah.
I think. And I've talked to people like online and stuff, but I haven't met up with any in person. And that's again mainly because where we're at, Newcastle, Australia, not a lot of doxed.
We're putting that one straight in the thumbnail.
Yeah, in the thumbnail.
Thumbnail title.
Just the wavelength of that recording.
Everything,
Newcastle, Australia. Yeah, there aren't many YouTubers that do similar stuff. But I still want to reach out to the ones who are here.
I think the only YouTuber I know of in Newcastle is Brittany Lee Saunders. And she's,
I don't even know who that is.
Well, beauty YouTuber. So there you go.
Ah, yeah, there we go. That's the
world
problem
that you have got.
I don't think there's a further demographic of people for what watch my videos and what watch her videos.
The Venn diagram is just two circles.
Yeah, two circles. Yeah. Completely not even on the same page.
Fair. I'm sure there's a few, but I can't imagine the crossover is massive.
There's a couple. Yeah. It's probably not fair, but.
Oh, well. Are there any plans to do, I guess, a non-YouTube stream of content? I mean, you've got a Twitter presence, you've got the Discord, that sort of thing. They exist. Are you looking at doing like Twitch or anything like that?
I've been actually looking into that a little bit lately because a lot of similar people, like a lot of people who do my sort of content, are getting into that sort of world. And I think it'd be interesting. I don't know how I'd go at it. I don't know if I'd be any good. I'm also like not hugely into gaming. I am kind of into gaming, but I'm not good at it.
Right.
Is the problem. Like, because I guess I only really started gaming with some friends in university. Like, I didn't do it growing up. So I don't have those skills that people are looking for when they're watching somebody online play games. But I guess I could do like, if you're just doing like programming on Twitch.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a thing.
You could do like a Code Bullet Live sort of thing. Live.
But you can do that on YouTube.
Yeah, that's true.
And then, you know,
that's very true. I'm probably just using 2 million
notifications going.
Oh, yeah.
So
I'm probably just using Twitch as a catch-all term for just live streaming.
Like Yeah. I'd be interested. I think it'd be like a cooler way of, you know, engaging with my audience a little more. It can be fairly one way with like I put out a video and then I make another video and I put out a video. And so it's like, I mean, I like read comments and stuff sometimes.
Brave.
Yeah. It's a risky move sometimes reading comments because like 99% of them are really high quality, really good people. And then 1% of them just, they'll be like, oh, this guy's not that funny. And that'll be like, oh, gets me right in the heart. I'll just be like fetal position on the ground for a few hours. So it's not overly productive. I mean, there might be a bit of that with live streaming, but I don't know. I think it'd be interesting, but I just don't know if I'm like good enough to do like programming and do like actually talking at the same time. Like I might just be Like when I'm programming, I'm like in the zone, you know, yeah. Or I'll be like, what am I doing? And people will actually see my process and how see how shit a programmer I am, which is fine. They already know. Let's be honest. At this point, I'm not hiding it anymore. There's something else that slipped with the videos as time goes past. At first, it was like, because it's the portfolio, you're trying to make it look impressive. You're trying to make it look awesome. Then as time goes on, it's like, I tried this. It's bad. I suck at this. Why am I here? Why are you watching?
They get the notification, they're just on.
Yeah. And YouTube's released some new, I think it's called like members or something, which is like very similar to Twitch in the way that you can have like people who actually like subscribe to you in that way and they're like paying.
So like a monetary subscription.
Yeah,
like
and you can like have a chat, which is only the people that have paid to be there.
Okay.
Which means that hopefully it's like most of the people who support what you do. Not people who've paid $5 to rip on you.
I feel like you're going to get a mix of both with that.
Yeah, you're probably going to. Yeah, potentially.
You cross that bridge.
Yeah.
Now, I appreciate this video is probably going to get two very diverse audiences in that the, you know, 1,000-strong audience of Nui Tech people, which is an incredibly narrow market, v your similarly sized 2.2 million subscribers. I feel like we're going to get two very diverse sections.
Yeah.
So it's probably good to give a bit of context into what these videos usually are for us.
Right.
So historically, we will interview, you know, students, we'll interview meetup organizers, that sort of thing from our local area. And the question I will always ask them is really the university v TAFE or whatever the equivalent is in other countries or you know, the online course set like Code Academy and Free Code Camp and so on. I always ask sort of the opinion on those.
Yeah.
You've fairly recently graduated computer science from a you know, traditional university sort of setting. Rewind 4 or so years ago. What sort of pathway would you take now that you've, I guess you have the benefit of hindsight?
Yeah. I'd potentially still do uni. It's a good place that's like, I kind of need someone to be like, hey, buddy, you're going to have to do the work. Like if I was doing online uni, I had a mate who did uni completely online, but he's like so much more of like a driven, self-motivated sort of let's hustle sort of person.
Yes.
And I am not. So I like really like the sort of having a lecturer there, someone who's like making you sit down and do it. You got to come into the lectures. I mean, you're supposed to come into the lectures at certain times and you got to like, you got like deadlines and stuff. Like, I feel like if I was teaching myself, maybe if I was like super self-motivated, I could potentially learn a lot of the content faster. But having like them there, like that structure there, I think is really valuable. Whether I'd go to Newcastle or a different uni, I'm not sure. I haven't thought too much about it. Yeah, I don't know. That's probably the only question. But yeah, I'd still go to uni, I think, even though you could get a lot of the skills. And it's like, it's just like a much more social place. I've got a lot of good friends that I met there and that sort of stuff. Yeah, so probably still go to uni. And you can learn, like you can do all the lot of the online stuff on the side if you want. That's essentially how I learned a lot of what I know about machine learning and that sort of stuff is I just taught myself on the side. They give you plenty of time in the over summer. You get what, 4 months off, so
like you get a bit of a break. Yeah.
You don't have to just be at the beach the whole time.
Yeah,
not that I go to the beach, but you get it. You get the idea.
We're at the next level of doctings. Really white.
Yeah. Aggressively white.
Oh dear. So essentially, I guess the answer that you're sort of boiling it down to, you would still go to uni, but not because of the learning, really.
Yeah, potentially. It was hard for us because I was going through like the first year after they changed stuff at Newcastle for CompSci.
Yeah.
So we were the guinea pig year for almost every course. And that's, you know, there are some struggles there, which are kind of frustrating. And like there are some courses I really enjoyed, really loved, and there's some courses that I didn't love nearly as much. And some of them that I felt like were a bit of a waste of time. But then I think that's the same as every uni and every degree. And it's like stuff that doesn't seem super important and stuff that like I probably wouldn't teach myself, like all the they're kind of boring, but they're the fundamentals.
The foundational of the course. Theory stuff. Yeah.
Stuff like that. I'd probably just jump straight into machine learning and without learning, I don't know, the basic of if statements and shit. Like, I feel like it's an important sort of structure and way to do it. And I haven't really looked too into if there's like a similar sort of thing online where you can do like a full, like, I don't know, 3-year degree. I'm sure there are something similar to that, which like with a full structure at all and they take you through the fundamentals. But again, they don't have the structure of you got to come in, you got these deadlines, you got to like hang out with people. I don't know.
Yeah, it's all quite self-paced.
Yeah, exactly, which I'm not. Gifted at, if you can tell by the upload schedule.
you're the most consistent, inconsistent uploader.
Yeah. That's what I do. My intro is now an apology. It's a problem. Yeah. I've stopped doing that. Like, I'm working on a new video and there's no apology. I'm just straight into it.
Here's the video. If you like it, go.
I thought about doing some merch, which was like, I'm sorry, it's been so long. That's the closest thing I have to a catchphrase. I think uni was definitely a good thing. And if I didn't do uni, I wouldn't have done programming and I would have done people. So
it's all worked out.
Yeah.
In a very roundabout way.
I suppose. And it was fun. I enjoyed it. I do kind of miss it. I don't know I'd do any further study. Yeah. I mean, maybe I would. Maybe I need a few years to forget.
Decompress, Just put on the rose-tinted glasses.
Freedom, yeah.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah.
I get you. I can imagine, and obviously I haven't got access to the analytics, I can imagine you've got an absurd viewership with people sort of at high school level and potentially pre-high school level who are watching your videos is really a first or one of the first exposures to AI, ML, whatever sort of label you want to affix to the stuff that you do.
Yeah.
For someone who's, you know, just sort of getting started and just trying to build a bit of exposure or trying to get an understanding as to how that all works, how would you recommend they sort of dip their toe in the water there?
Yeah, it's hard. It's a hard toe to dip. you gotta have a decent foundation of computer science before you jump into machine learning. Like, that's what a lot of people say. They're like, oh, I want to do machine learning now. I want to do it. Like, I guess you can do it that way, but that's just like by importing Python libraries and not doing any of the coding yourself. If you want to, like, the way I did it and what I'm really passionate about is truly understanding all the algorithms and how they work under the surface. That's what interests me, not actually like how to import TensorFlow. That's not super interesting to me. It's how to actually how the underlying math and stuff works. And that's like reasonably advanced math for a fairly young person. So I guess, I don't know, start out with just regular programming and then let's talk AI, I guess.
That's fair.
And you can do like the stuff like using TensorFlow and that'll give you a taste for it. And then later on, actually understand the underlying mechanics of it all.
Sure.
Would be how I'd do it. But then I guess some people aren't all that interested in the mathematics of it all, which is fine. You can do it that way. And then that's probably a much more efficient way where you just kind of ignore that and you more learn how to get the best results out of the algorithms that have already been invented.
You're potentially typecasting yourself into a particular technology though, if you do that, in that, you know, you learn how to use a very particular tool set to achieve a very particular outcome.
You're not
learning the foundational stuff. You're not learning the background. So if a time comes and realistically in technology, new tools come out like every year at this point, when it comes a time that you do need to move to potentially to a different technology, to a different platform, whatever, it does become a bit difficult then.
Yeah, potentially. And some of the stuff you learn will transfer, but a lot of it might not. I think it's a good idea at some point to learn how, if you are using a lot of machine learning stuff, to learn how it's all actually working. I don't know. That's what I find the most interesting, like more so than the actual results is actually underlying how it works. And that's kind of what I try to show in my videos, is show like kind of a glimpse into how it works a little bit. Like, obviously I can't fully explain all the algorithms and the math behind it. I mean, I can, but I just choose not to.
Yeah.
I've done like some tutorial like content in the past, and that just, it takes a lot of effort. I don't enjoy it as much and they don't do as well. So I've thought about doing like a course or something on Udemy or something like that, some sort of paid course, that way that I can actually put like a decent amount of time into it and not super worry about like how many views it gets or that sort of stuff, because I know there will be a decent sort of foundation of people that will go visit it and I'll, you know, sort of get enough money to make it worthwhile. And it would be cool to, because like stuff like some of the stuff that I'm doing is like Neat, which is the sort of evolution algorithm that I use primarily. There's not a lot of good resources out there for learning it. Like it's a lot of research papers and that sort of stuff, which is, you know, pretty dry.
Not accessible.
Not accessible. Yeah. I think I could make a pretty good course on that, but then I have to do that, which is the problem. So I might at some point do that. But I guess in terms of back to the question, I watched a lot of, like, there's a lot of good YouTube videos by, there's one, like, by MIT that's just, like, they do the online lectures for their whole course.
Yes.
The whole machine learning course, and that's really good. That's essentially where I learned everything I know.
Cool.
That, and obviously uni helps.
Definitely. Okay. Really, I think that essentially covers what I wanted to cover anyway. Mm. Is there anything apart from the obvious that you want to plug?
No, I mean, I might have a new video coming in. Depends when this comes out. It might be a week, a month, a year. It'll be coming. My next video will be soon.
New videos someday.
New videos, I promise. My punchline. I don't know. Check me out on YouTube, Twitter. I have a Discord if you can bother find that. I have a website if you want to check that out. I don't know.
TheBigCB.com.
TheBigCB.com, because somebody took CodeBullet.com.
Oh, no. Really?
I have CodeBullet.sexy, though, so that's good. What's important. Yeah, good. Yeah, yeah.
Did you lock down CodeBullet.XXX?
No, I did not. I'm yet to. I haven't searched it, I'll be honest, but I should jump right on that. What would I put on there? Just weird fan art.
That's a video for another time. Yeah. All right. Easy, man. Look, thank you. Thank you for coming in.
No worries.
Thank you for having a chat. If you haven't already ascertained by now, check out his YouTube channel, youtube.com. You just search CodeBullet because the URL's too difficult to
efficiently it's like got X's say. And shit. Yeah.
It's just a lot of stuff. Awesome. Thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks heaps for listening to this episode of Community Spotlight. We've been really happy with the reception this series has gotten, so thanks heaps for supporting it. If you want to know a bit more about what Evan does, be sure to check out CodeBullet on YouTube. And if you want to know a bit more about what we do, check out one of our many social platforms. I'm talking LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, MySpace. Yeah, probably not MySpace. Thanks for listening, though.